Amen. And, you know, you'll be glad that I'm standing here today, because last night I almost had a heart attack. I was expecting my son to be home next week, but then my daughter came home and was pretending that she was taking a picture of us, and my son Ray was behind us. He says, "You're having a celebration. Why did you invite me?" And of course, you know, I was like, "Oh, you're home." And he asked me if he was planning to walk in the middle of the service and see what I would do. I said, "Well, I will stop and welcome you and then go on with it." So, anyway, are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, God has been really keeping us on our toes lately. And of course, you've heard the story of how my dad's been in hospital three times where he was in the Philippines, and we rejoiced because he was here last Sunday, and the Lord was really good. But then Monday morning, went and visited them and rang the doorbell, and he didn't get up. And so I went through the garage and asked him, "So what's going on?" He said, "Well, I got dizzy while walking to your sister's house, and it's not very far distance from here, probably to the Shepherd's Hall." And he said he kind of stood there, kind of got his bearing, and then started walking and was feeling bad. And so upon knowing that, took him to the hospital right away, and we got there about 10:30 in the morning, and they went all this battery of tests, and stayed in the ER until, I think, the next morning. He didn't get a room till the next morning, so it was quite an ordeal. But praise God, because we find something that was wrong with him. They found out after the test was that he had a clot in one of the stem of his brain, and it was not allowing the blood to go to circulate. And so that's why he was losing his balance, and his eyesight was impaired, peripheral vision was compromised. But after those processes, the doctor did something and was able to dissolve the clot. And all of a sudden, she says, "Whoa, this is great." All of a sudden, he's able to see on this peripheral vision. It improved very well. And then yesterday, he said he was at the house, and he says, so now I walk, and I'm not using my cane. I'm carrying my cane," he says. But he's not leaving his cane yet, because just in case, he's got it with him this morning. But you know, as I look at that situation, it's kind of reminiscent of how life is. Because as we walk through the journey in life, there is something that sometimes clogs our way and disorients us. And temporarily, sometimes we get off the course, we don't know where we are, and not unless that blockage or something that's clogging our pathway, not unless it's removed, we are not going to be able to live life the way it should be. We stay off the course of life. And oftentimes, what stops us from staying in the course of life is because it's experiences that we go through. Painful experiences that we go through tend to sometimes taint our idea of who God is. So this morning, I'd like to talk to you about how to stay the course. Now, I don't want you to take this as a way of a sermon of judging you, because all of us at one time or another get off the course, but the challenge is this, that when we do so, we need to get up and get on the course again. Because all of us sin, and all of us get lost sometimes in our way. So this morning, I'd like to share with you principles that will help us stay in the course
of our Christian life, in the course of life that God has called us to do. A scripture text is found in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 18. It's a story of Ruth. Sometimes an initial look at this story, it seems like it's just a relationship about a daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law, a close relationship at that. But looking further into this text, looking further into the story of Ruth, we find that not only that she was close to her mother-in-law, but that she was very close to her mother-in-law and that she was devoted to God. We can see that she was determined in standing for her faith, and consequently, God used her life mightily. Used her life in an incredible way. He was because of that, her life made a difference not only in her time, but also in the New Testament. And we will be talking about that a little later. So as we start with, let's kind of just, in the first couple of verses, we're going to just talk about the sequence of the scenes of her life. Well, the book opens up with a famine in Israel that caused Naomi's family to move out of Israel and settle in the land of Moab. And it's a foreign land. It's a place that people worship idols. But because they stayed there, they had two sons, and their two sons fell in love with two Moabite women. One was Ruth, and the other was Orpah. Well, in marriage, Naomi, because perhaps of Naomi's witness, Ruth and Orpah became followers of God. Well, Naomi's husband died, and then years later, her sons died. And so Naomi was very discouraged, so she decided to go back to Israel. And in doing so, she asked her two daughter-in-law to go home. So she said, go home. Go back to your family. Go back to your gods. Go back to the life that you know. Because if you follow me, there's no future in it. Here's the conversation what Naomi said to them. Ruth chapter 1, verse 11 through verse 13. And here's what it says.
But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me.
Can you tell the anguish and the struggle of Naomi in that verse? I mean, you could hear the heaviness of her heart. You know, you could sense that Naomi was hopeless. I mean, being a widow in that time, you know, no one has to care for, will care for her, not unless a kinsman redeemer would come and assume the responsibilities of their dead husbands. She was very discouraged. And so consequently, she asked her two daughters-in-law, said, go home. It's not good for you to stay with me. Have you ever felt that? That sometimes that your life is better off if people just walk away, and, you know, because it seems like people that are attached to your life also suffers the consequences or suffers also the things that you're going through. But now let's look at the response of the two daughter-in-laws. Verse 14 to verse 15. Here's what it says.
At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her.
See, Orpah loved Naomi. Orpah became a follower of God because of perhaps Naomi's testimony and witness to both of them. But Orpah didn't love Naomi enough to really stay with her. But instead, she decided to go back home.
to go back to what's familiar, to go back to her own people, to go back to the way life was. And that's kind of the same temptation that we go through in life, that when hard time comes, sometimes what we do is we give up on God. But I am here to tell you that God hasn't given up on us. So Orpha, as we see here, although she found faith or believed in God, but yet she decided to turn her back upon the new found faith. Instead of staying with Naomi, she decided to go back to all the familiar things in life. What do you think the chances of Orpha standing strong in her faith in the midst of her people, the Moabites, idol-worshipping people, ungodly people? I think it is fair to say that she does not stand a chance. She does not stand a chance. And I could sense here that perhaps Ruth was having the same temptation to follow Naomi. There's no bright future. They were widows. They would be poor. They would be looked down upon. But Ruth, on the other hand, decided to embrace her newfound faith. And she recognized that Naomi was very crucial and she needed her guidance at that time. So look at Ruth's reply in verse 16 and 17. Here's what it says.
But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me."
Ruth was a Moabite woman. And Moabites are Gentiles, pagan people who worship idols, considered sinners by the Jewish people. Ruth's background, upbringing, her former life and understanding stands opposite to her newfound faith. But as we can see here, she made a decision to stay the course. And consequently, God richly blessed her life. See, the story of Ruth is a story of it does not matter where you come from, but when we give our life to God and stay the course, God can use our life mightily. And that's the same message that he's saying to all of us this morning, that it does not matter where you've been. It does not matter what you have done. It does not matter what our secrets are. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anyone. But God knows where you are and where you've been. But what matters to God is our willingness to give our life to him and in obedience to follow and stay the course. So this morning I would like to look at the story of Ruth and draw several principles that will help us stay the course. It's difficult, isn't it? Some of us have been praying for a job. And maybe perhaps our prayer, "Lord, I know you're going to give me a job tomorrow, the next day." But some of you have been praying for months and seems like God is not delivering. And all of a sudden, there is that thought that comes into our mind. What's the use of it? And oftentimes, maybe perhaps we have worked so hard for the homes that we have. And now look, it's where it is. And sometimes we fall into the trap that we're hoping. The hope is in the system. Maybe this next election is going to change all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me propose to you, people are people and they are imperfect. And if we put our hope on people, it will fail. The only hope is in God. So as we look at the story of Ruth, the first principle that I see here
that is very important is in order to stay the course of life that God has called us, that we need to connect with the right person or right people. Look at verse 16 again. Here's what it says.
Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you.
See, Ruth knew the value of Naomi. She knows that it's going to be difficult. She knows that life ahead is going to be challenging. But you see, in the midst of that trouble, she decided instead of going back to what was familiar, instead of going back to the things that she knew before, instead, she decided to stay with Naomi. You see, if we are going to stay the course, it is important that we choose to connect with the right people. Because let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, connecting with the wrong people will take us to places that we don't want to go. It will take us to places that we don't want to go. See, Naomi understood that. If she is going to embrace totally her newfound faith, it was crucial for her to stay with Naomi. The Bible is full of examples of what it is, of the consequences of being connected with the wrong person. Let's take, for example, Lot. Lot had a great start. He became a rich man because of Abram. But later in his life, he started connecting with the wrong kind of people. And because of that, it not only cost his livelihood, but it cost his family. It ruined his family. Well, there's another very popular story in the Bible. How about Samson? Long, flowing hair, biceps galore. I mean, he could have any woman, I think, that he wants. But he fell and got connected with the wrong woman. And what happened? It destroyed his life. You know, this principle, I think, is not new to us, because as you sit here today, you know that your life, you are where you are today, is because God has used somebody to get connected with your life. You are in a job that you are in today is because of that someone. You have what you have today is because God has allowed that person to come across your life, and you saw it and you connected with that person and your life has been changed. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the people that we connect with not only influences our behavior, but it influences the direction we take our life. First Corinthians 15:33 says this.
Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Now my question to all of us is this. Are you holding on to a relationship right now that perhaps has been dragging you down, has been stopping you, has been destroying your peace, and it's been drawing you away from God? What we need to do is to let go of those relationships, because not until we do so, our journey in staying the course is highly unlikely. And when we do so, sometimes those things sometimes brings difficulty in our life. Now, let me qualify what I just said. I'm not talking about your wife or your husband or your children. But there are relationships in our life that are all with our own choosing. We get connected with them, but for some reason, we don't want to let go, but we know it's dragging us down. I know we fail. I know in each turn we make wrong decisions. But ladies and gentlemen, it is so important that we connect ourselves with the right person. When you are going through some tough time, look for friends that have overcome your issues.
I'm telling you, if you connect, if you're angry and you connect with another angry man, you're going to have a party, but you're going to remain angry and miserable. And if you're discouraged, you can have a pity party with other discouraged people. But one thing that we need to do is, just like Naomi, in the thickest of the challenges that they were facing, instead of running away and going back to what was familiar, she chose to stay with the person she knew that could help her in her walk with God. There's so many examples in Scripture where people got connected with the right people, and the result is amazing. I mentioned Lot a while ago, earlier in his life. Abraham left, uprooted his family, and Lot followed. They don't know where they were going, but because he was connected to the right person, the Bible says that Lot was so blessed and he became a very wealthy person. How about Rahab? Being looked down by the society, a prostitute. There's no hope for her. But what happened? She connected with the two spies. And the result was that when the city was destroyed, her life was spared. Not only her life, but also the life of her family. Blows my mind. How about the Egyptian ruler? He didn't even know about God. Well, at least we know in the end that he recognized that Joseph's God is powerful. But because of his connection with Joseph, what happened? During famine, Egypt did not experience hunger. They were well provided because of Joseph. Timothy, a young man, because having the right connection with the Apostle Paul, we find in the Bible that he became a faithful pastor. My question to you and to me is this: what kind of connections do we have? Are the connections that we are involved in today, is it the connections that we choose to help us move forward in our walk with God, help us live out God's will and purpose in our life? Or have we chosen, for whatever reason, to hang on to those relationships that tend to drain us and draw us away from the path, from the course that God has set for us? The second principle that I see in the story of Ruth, that it is not only the importance of being connected with that right person, but it is also important to stay in the right path. In verse 16, once again, he says, "Where you go?" Ruth says, "Please, don't let me go. Because where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay." Ruth's decision to stay and follow Naomi to go to Israel was a difficult decision. You know, Ruth was not familiar with the way Israelite lived. They were living in the land of Moab. So her journey, spiritual journey, started still not so far away from where she started. But Ruth deciding to follow Naomi to go to Israel is going to be a difficult one, because that means that Ruth is going to make some changes. That means that Ruth is going to give up her comfort zone. That means she's going to need to meet new people. For some of us, we do a good job in meeting new people, but some of us have a difficulty in that. That means that she has to learn a totally different culture. That means that she has to give up some ways about her. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be challenging. But because she was willing to embrace her newfound faith, she chose to live her life according to the will of God and chose to stay with Naomi and to stay in the right path. Joshua 24, verse 15 says this.
But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
And my hope is that's the kind of determination that we have. That as we live our life in the midst of an evil world who tries to pressure us to conform with the world, we simply say, you know, I have made a choice. You can choose what you want to choose. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, some of us perhaps have been pressured to keep our job and compromise what we believe in, to stand against the Word of God just to keep what we have. But I hope our decisions is to stay on the right path and say like Joshua did, I don't care what all of you will do, but for me and in my house, we will serve the Lord. It is not an easy decision. It is not an easy decision, but if we choose to do that as God has used Ruth in an incredible way, God is going to use our life as well. Not only that it's important to be connected with the right people, it's not only important that we choose to stay in the right path, but we need to choose or to seek the right company. See, for Ruth, that was very important. Not only that she decided to stay with Naomi, now given that she likes Naomi very much, but if we look deeper in the text, later on as we look at the overall picture, we find that it's more than just a relationship with Naomi. It is because Ruth totally embraced her newfound faith. And look what she said.
But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God."
Your people will be my people. Now, that's another step of difficulty. Not only Ruth going to Israel is going to be difficult, but to live among the Israelites is going to be another hardship. Well, Moabite women are known to be bad women, sinners. You know, I was trying to think what would be an equivalent of that in these days, and it just came to me. When we went to Indonesia, my wife was considered a foreign woman. You see, in Indonesia, they think of American women as women that sleep around, kisses everybody. You know? And you know where do you think they got that idea? They got that idea from the internet, in our TV shows. You know, one of their favorite TV program in that country is Baywatch. So they think that every woman are... And so everywhere my wife would go, even in professional context, there was a situation where she went to one of the universities and the university president made a pass on my wife. And my wife says, "I'm married." Did that make it? I thought America... You know, I don't know exactly how difficult it will be for Ruth to live in Israel. But I could guarantee you it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. Everywhere she goes, they said, "Oh, that woman, black woman." The Israelites know not to mix with other nations. And I think it will be very difficult for Ruth to stay in Israel because they were taught that foreign women are bad. And not only that they were taught that, but they witnessed in their history how foreign women have destroyed their leaders. But But you see, with Ruth, regardless of the difficulty that she was about to face, she made a decision to stay with her mother-in-law, to walk in that right path, and to immerse herself with people who shared the same faith. And ladies and gentlemen, we know what that's like. I mean, maybe it's not as difficult as Ruth, but when we put ourselves in the fellowship of the believers, it's difficult. You know, I hear it all the time. You know, it's so painful. It's just so painful because I didn't expect my brother and sister, the church, to hurt me just like this. I expect it from the world, but not from my brothers and sisters in the Lord. How many times have you heard that statement? But ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to stay strong and stand firm and walk in fellowship with God and live our life in the course that God has set for us, we cannot afford to stay out of fellowship. I love Hebrews 24, verse 25. Here's what it says.
And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
You know, even though the church is imperfect, it is amazing to me that God has chosen the church to be an instrument, part of his plan in growing you and I a closer walk with him, to become strong in our faith. I like how the Amplified Bible says it. It says, let us consider and give attentive, continuous care over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and be helpful and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, that means warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. You know, it's not a perfect fellowship, but let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God's plan is to be for us to be part of fellowship, because in that context, he helps us grow in our faith. Now, the final point that I see here is the final principle is that the most important of all is to pursue the right devotion. Look at verse 16 at the very end. And it says, oh, don't let me go. I will follow you. And at the very end, he says, and your God, he says, will be my God. Now, there's so many things that fights for our devotion, don't we? Isn't it? In life, there's so many things that's trying to jockey for our devotion. It could be it could be money. It could be career. It could be relationships. It could be something else. It could be anything. But it seems like these things are in competition, in trying to help us and trying to take us off the course in our life as we follow God. Maybe some of you are sitting here and saying, how did you get all that principle with that simple story? You know, I didn't see that there. I thought it was just a story of a friendship between Ruth and Naomi. See, the scripture tells us that not everything was recorded. The fact is, if everything was recorded, probably there's not enough books to record it. But the fact that one of the book of the Old Testament was named after Ruth says something about the depth of his devotion.
So as we can see, it is fair to say that the most important decision that Ruth made in her life is when she made a decision to follow God wholeheartedly and was willing to take all the risk that is involved in order for her to stay on track and stay the course of the life that God has called her to do. And because of that decision, it changed the whole course of her life and consequently changed her life's destiny. See, that's exactly what God wants to do for us. He wants to use our life and make a difference for the kingdom of God. He wants to take whatever we have and use it for His glory. You know, it doesn't matter for God where you've been, just like Ruth. She was a Gentile. She was a sinner. But because of God's love and God's grace, God called her out of that and made a difference in her life. Became an important person, influential person, not only in the life of Israel, but also even in Christianity today. It doesn't matter if you've sinned, if you failed. It doesn't matter if you consider yourself a saint or a sinner. It doesn't matter if you're green, white, blue, orange, I don't know, yellow, white. But what's important to God is this, that we make a decision to accept Him and follow Him, not only as our Savior, but as Master of our life. You know, He can change our life. He can erase our past. He can restore our life. He can rebuild our family. He can set us free from any addiction. He can make us a better person. He can transform us and become a new man. See, our ordinary, imperfect, tainted life in the hands of a powerful and loving God, He can use it to do extraordinary things. My question to all of us is simply this. What is it that's standing in the way for us to stay the course? Maybe perhaps it's pride. Maybe perhaps it's unforgiveness that's blocking that relationship that has kept us off the course. Maybe it's hatred. Listen, folks, let us ask the Spirit of God to come into our heart and melt those blocks, things that are stopping the flow of the Spirit in our life, so that we will once again stand in the course that God has called us to be. Ruth's devotion has changed her life. Not only have made a difference to the people of that time, but also for us today. Here's the rest of her life story. She went to the country of Israel and was faithful to God. And because of her faithfulness, she finds a godly husband named Boaz. God honored her faith and obedience by allowing one of the books of the Holy Scripture to carry her name. Amazing. Not only one of the two women in the Bible, but the only Gentile woman to receive such honor. But as I say, it influences us today. It is because she became the grandmother of David, who was the grandfather of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of things in life that we can be embarrassed of. As a matter of fact, you don't have to share that with me or anyone else. But God knows exactly where you are, and what God wants us to do is simply give ourselves to Him and see what He can do with our lives. Do you want to see the life that God intended for you to have? Do you want to witness the extraordinary things that God is going
to do and use you to make kingdom difference. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need to do is to get up if we have fallen and stay the course. You know, if you have some of you are simply saying, you know, I've been off the course for a long time. I don't know even where to start. Well, as I see the scripture, he's simply saying, what you need to do is recognize that you have sinned against God. And recognize that you have missed. And the next thing that we need to do is to recognize what he did on the cross of Calvary. That when he hung on the cross of Calvary, he paid for our sins in full. And the next thing that we need to do is to praise him. Says, Lord, thank you for the gift of forgiveness. And our prayer should be, Lord, here's my life. Take it. I want to stand up and walk and stay the course that you have called me to live. I don't know how this sermon has touched you, but I know some of us here have gotten off the course, and God is calling you, wherever you are, to get up and start walking with him.